Amen. That's from the scripture, John 3:16. How many of you guys remember John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his what? His one and only son. Amen. And I want to talk today a little bit about somewhere we've been, because I know some of you have not been with us here the last few Sundays. And I'm just impressed that we have a good showing for spring forward. Amen. I did notice our second service grew a little bit. Amen. And so, but this is what the Bible says. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only son so that everyone, and I want to say this. I'm going to say every. I want you to say one. I know the next youth will help me out, and all the rest of you guys compete with them. Every.
One.
Every.
One.
Every.
One.
Every.
One.
Everyone. You're like, what are those weird things doing up here? This is a part of our Everyone series and our vision for 2019. And I believe that God is going to help inspire us to reach more people. We're going to reach everyone when we go after the one. This was just a symbol, if you will, of everyone. I think we got our splash screen here this morning to see that with everyone, it's about people. Amen. How many know that God is all about reaching people? Amen. Amen. So our Vision Sunday, we talked about, this is just a couple Sundays ago, we talked about the new vision theme for 2019. Our ongoing vision for this church is that we want to love God and that we want to love people. And by the way, I also want to honor the fact that today we have people from different churches here as well because of the next youth ministry. Can we just give it up for those who are here, even from other churches? We serve a great community, a lot of wonderful churches, and I think it's important that we recognize that the body of Christ is larger than just Life Church. Amen? And so I also want to just thank Pastor Quinn and all the leaders. You know, it was great seeing you, Todd. This is probably one of your first times at the conference. And just great to see the leaders helping and pouring into our youth. Amen? Amen. So we shared some incredible things that happened or transpired over the course of 2018. I had people tell me, like, how come we didn't share this and this? I'd be here for, like, a whole day talking about all the things that we did in 2018. Amongst those accomplishments beyond ministry, we also expanded with the purchase of additional land. We now have close to 7 acres, and we're trusting that God's going to give us more because we're going to build a new sanctuary. I'm saying that by faith. Amen. And so we're preparing for our future because someone thought about us. We're going to prepare for our future and for the future of those beyond us. And so we shared some of those plans, and you can listen to it on our website, but I need to say it this way. You can listen to it on our new website. So we've got a new website. Go check that out. And we talked about everyone, that you reach everyone when you understand that it starts with one. Because everyone can be kind of overwhelming, but if you just think about one, if God would just begin to inspire your heart to think about someone. It was interesting, I think it was Ethan who said, you know, I was just reaching out to, not everyone, he was reaching out to one. And I believe that God wants to do something similar in our hearts, that we begin to see that God thought about us as an individual. We need to start thinking how God thinks about the one to reach everyone. And so we asked the question, who is God stirring you to believe for? Who is God stirring you to pray for? Because why don't you write that down on this everyone card? And then in the foyer we have, I believe we even have a picture of it, we have an everyone blackboard. We'll see. Here we go. Everyone. You guys see that? And we've got names of the people that God has been putting on our hearts. By the way, I think, how many think that God answers prayer? Amen. I believe that God answers prayer when we pray even for the lost. I believe that God begins to move even more. See, because I believe that if prayerfulness moves God, prayerlessness does not. And so we need to start being prayerful about the lost and going after the one. And so we have that there. Every time you come in, can I encourage you to go to that wall? Maybe read some of those. Let the Holy Spirit just cause you to be stirred to begin to pray for the people that are on that board. By the way, do not write down their last name as well. Amen? Amen. And so we ask you to write that out and then to take it home. Pray for that person. Reach out to that person. And so then last Sunday, we talked about Jesus, because I think it's good to talk about Jesus when you're at church. Amen. And we do teach the Bible here. I have heard a lot of people come from different parts of the country say, it's refreshing to hear the Bible preached at church. And I'm like, oh my Lord, I didn't know that churches didn't preach the Bible, but apparently that's a thing. And so last Sunday, we talked about Jesus, his lifestyle, reaching the one in a very relational way. How many know that Jesus is very relational? And that God, I believe, wants us to look at his life. We looked at Jesus' life last week, but we didn't get to finish a little bit about Jesus being relational and reaching the one. And so it was discovered that Jesus had a very simple approach. How many know that Jesus did a lot of walking? I started realizing I probably would do a lot better with my physique if I just took up the first part of Jesus' ministry and started walking. Amen? How many of you probably could do some walking as well? And so we looked at Jesus' lifestyle, and he walked a lot. But the other thing I realized is Jesus didn't have a lot of distraction like we do today. And I thought it was interesting. They said, put the cell phones away so you can focus on God. But I know that our vision is not just loving God, it's loving people as well. And how many know that that our smartphones actually can cause us to be dumb as it concerns our affinity and affection to reach people and to do the second thing, not just walk, but actually look? How many of you know that we probably have safer streets if people actually looked at the street versus their phones? Amen. So, especially for the youth, I'm not talking about giving up your smartphones. I'm talking about just being like Jesus, looking around and seeing what he wants us to see. Amen? And you know this other thing? He talked. He spoke to people. When was the last time you spoke to someone who was a complete stranger? You know what I find? When I talk to someone who's a complete stranger, it's almost shocking. It's almost like, how many of you guys ever notice those pads that put on people, they shock people? It's kind of fun, actually, to do this, occasionally to just shock somebody. I'm not talking about the natural doing that, but I'm saying it's fun to walk, look, talk, and then look for an invitation, and that's what we found in Jesus' life. He was very good at it. And we discovered, get this, we found out last week at Life Church, if you're here for the first time, we discovered that people at Life Church can do these things. We discovered, I asked the question, can you walk? Almost every one of us said we could walk. I found it interesting because I followed up with a question, can you look? Almost everyone in this place said, yes, I can look. And then we followed up with, can you talk? And some of you looked at your spouse or someone else and said, they can talk. And then we asked the question, can you be invitational? So the reality is that none of us are with excuse. All of us can do the basic things that Jesus did in reaching people. And so I want to take a look back at Jesus. We'll wrap up a little bit about how he was very simple in his approach and loving people. And then we're going to look at disciples, because I believe that it's one thing to say, you know, that's what Jesus did. He's God. He's divine. He also walked this earth in the same flesh that we did. But we were talking amongst the pastors. I said, maybe we should talk about not just Jesus, but also the disciples. What did their life look like? And so we're going to go through a little discovery about, like, okay, this is Jesus. This is how he did it. But how did the disciples do it? Because I think we owe ourselves to answer the question, how did the disciples reach people as well? How many of you are ready here to learn and ready to apply? Not just here. Come on, not just here, but actually do something with this. And I'll just be honest, there are times when I'm preaching that I'm like so absolutely convicted, because where I'm at and the thing that I'm preaching about is a gap between the two places. And you're like, oh snap, that is a wrong kind of pastor to follow. No, I'm just simply trying to be honest. And in my discovery of following Jesus, I'm praying that you come with me to the right destination. Somebody say amen, because it's a lot of people, but a lot of quiet today. Amen. Every believer, and not just at Life Church, every believer should be employed in the thing that Jesus was employed in. And so we're going to look at his life a little bit, and we're also going to look at Peter, John, and the crippled beggar, because it's a great picture of the compassion that we are called to have as believers. And then we're going to use some key scriptures, hopefully, to build your faith to be like Jesus and to be like the disciples, so that we can reach every. Come on, next. Reach every. Amen. That's what we're about. Amen. And so while I was writing this sermon, I began to ask myself some questions like, oh, this is convicting. How many of you ever read the Word and you're like, wow, you see the potential that God wants you to fulfill? And so I really pray that you, when you're reading the Word, you're like, you're putting yourself in that scripture like, Jesus, I want to be this person. And it's so much more exciting reading the Word when you look at it from the perspective, God, you're giving me an invitation to be like this. And so I was asking the question, does my life really look like Jesus' life? Am I really, really, truly reaching the lost? Am I loving people towards Jesus? And do my steps, do my life steps mirror Jesus' steps? And so I want to take you back into the scripture and look at Jesus' life because I think it's an inspiration for what we can be and who we can become. Amen? Luke chapter 9. You guys there? Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. All right. This is what it says. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he became very rich. How many know that becoming very rich and the text of saying tax collector is probably not a good reputation? So basically, he's like the IRS mobster. Like, he's the bad side of the IRS. And you're like, I didn't know there was an upside to the IRS. So it says he was the chief tax collector in the region, and he became very rich because these people were often people who would extort and do all sorts of evil things to become rich. And he obviously had heard about Jesus because it says this, he tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. And so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road. Now, if I was there, he and I would both be in the tree. So he ran ahead and climbed this tree, and for Jesus was going to pass that way. What is Jesus doing? When it says he's passing that way, what is Jesus doing? He's what? He's walking. I find this interesting. You're like, I don't know why he finds it interesting. Just because I'm feeling the conviction to walk more. Amen? But the reality is that how many of us just live life in the fast lane? Everything we're doing is about the economy of time, and we don't slow down enough to realize that maybe if we got out of our vehicles instead of going through the drive-thru, maybe we would see someone that we might be able to know that the heart of God is reaching them using us as vessels. And so that's really what we're talking about, not just the action of walking. Amen? So it says, when Jesus came by, what did he do? It's like no surprise. Because you look at most of the texts, and Jesus is looking. How many of you know that in our culture, we're not always looking, are we? I was reading some interesting statistics on smartphones. Like there's like a high percentage of people that would have a panic attack if they were missing their phone for more than a couple hours. And so we know that there's an affinity for kind of putting ourselves into our own little realm, but God is wanting to pull us and call us out of our little world into the world of others. And I know we can use smartphones and social media to reach other people, but sometimes seeing people face to face is actually still a really cool thing. It's not outdated. Amen? I've tried this new thing. It's actually kind of cool. I don't bring my phone to dinner at our house. So all my friends are like, that's a lie. When I'm with my family, I decided I'm going to put my phone so I can actually engage with the children. Because if I'm going to say anything about or harass anyone with phones, I'm like the first one in the line. Like, I tease everybody else, but I'm on the phone probably just as much as y'all. So here's the deal. I put it aside because I was like, I can start seeing my children. And I was like, they're more than a social media picture. I mean, they're real people. Bella's like, Dad. My wife is loving having a husband back. Amen? Jesus looked. What did he do? He looked at Zacchaeus. First of all, are we looking at sinners? Are we so fixed on our own Christian circles that we've neglected to add to the circle Jesus wanted to add to this thing called heaven? He looked at Zacchaeus, the Bible says, And then what does he do next? He doesn't just, he's not just walking, he's not just looking. What's the next thing? He called him. He's interacting. He's speaking with Zacchaeus. He says, "Zacchaeus," he said, "quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today." I love the fact that the stories that we were reading last Sunday is that Jesus is invitational, but this invitation doesn't look like other invitations I've seen. And by the way, when I saw this, I was like, "Jesus, you're awesome. I don't know that my first invitation is going to be asking them to bring me into their home." Can I get a witness? But how many of you know that when you are being led by the Spirit of God, the Bible teaches us that the Holy Spirit is creative. And as he's creative through us, he will give us creative ideas about how to interact with unique people. And this is not something for you to mirror. Okay, well, Jesus said that, so I'm going to tell everybody I meet new, I need to come over to your home. You need to make me a meal. How many know that Jesus was hearing the Holy Spirit, but you can hear the Holy Spirit uniquely for the situation and reaching people? Okay, so he's walking, he's looking, he's talking, he's calling, and he's invitational. This one I find funny because he's inviting himself to Zacchaeus' home. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. Why would Zacchaeus be so excited about someone who he just met asking him, "Hey, bring me in your home. I want you to do something for me"? Why? Because Zacchaeus had probably heard about Jesus. This is the man who's done all these things. How many of you know that a good reputation that precedes you can actually be an invitation itself? I just want to say this. I love you guys, and I love this church. You know why? Because when I go in the community and I hear people talk about churches, guess what I hear? I hear Life Church is a great church. I'm just going to say, that makes a pastor really blessed. That's like in your household, and you are, you know, amongst your friends, and you hear that, like, "Hey, I really love your family because your kids are really good, and you got all these things going on." And how do you know that a good reputation is worth something? Amen? So we were, like, just a couple nights ago at a restaurant, and the waitress was asking some questions, and she got to the question. We were not even leading her there. She just said, "Hey, what church do you guys go to?" And so I was like, "Hey, we go to Life Church because I go here too, right?" And so I'm like, "We go to Life Church." And she goes, "Man, I hear more about that church than any other church." And then she mentioned another church. And I was like, "Great, because we're not the only great church in this city." But what was wonderful is that when we started talking about Life Church, it wasn't like, "Oh, no." It actually was the very opposite, right? It was an invitation to engage in a conversation. Jesus, his testimony preceded him. And I just want to ask, what testimony precedes you? Because invitation is so much easier when you are walking in a lifestyle that is compelling for others to want to know. Luke 19:6 it says, "Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. But the people were displeased. He had gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner. And they grumbled." Let me just tell you, church people, because a lot of us are and some of you aren't, and I'm praying that you come to meet Jesus and that you don't ever become this kind of religious person, is that Life Church is a very welcoming, loving place. But if you turn religious and start talking to other believers like these believers were talking to Jesus about, "Oh, you went to that notorious sinner's place," you probably will do better in a church that's dying, not alive. Because dying churches complain about sinners. And growing churches, they're all about the sinner. They're about encouraging one another. And we're like, "Hey, let's take this journey. It's called, hey, let's reach the lost." Amen. Let's get like in the same church Jesus is building. Amen. Like, why don't we be about God's economy, which is all about the lost. Amen. And so we see that Jesus is like right there in the middle of the mess. And meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord. How do we know that when we step into others' mess, God's up to doing something new in theirs? "Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, 'I will give half of my wealth to the poor, Lord. And if I have cheated people on their taxes, if I think that's funny, I will give them back four times as much.'" How do you give back four times as much unless you've been a cheater? Amen. All right. So verse 9 says, Jesus responded, "Salvation has come to this house today. Walking, looking, talking, inviting leads to salvation, my friends. It's not complicated. It doesn't have to be a 50-point sermon on how to reach the lost. All you have to do is to have the same motivation that Jesus had, which is what he says to those. He responds to the religious and to the atmosphere I speak to this church. Salvation has come home to this home today. Amen. Salvation has come home today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. Verse 10, I want to highlight, and I'm excited because I drank a lot of caffeine this morning. It helps for all the ADD. Amen. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. What do you think Jesus' heart is? He's after the lost. Who's at your table? Who's at your table? It's not a comfortable question to ask or to answer, even in my life. But I trust that God is wanting us to answer that question because he wants us to be walking, looking, and being invitational. Amen? Jesus wasn't the only one to reach people. Jesus expected the disciples to do it as well. And I trust that all of us want to be like Jesus and that we recognize that we should be like the disciples who followed Jesus. So let me ask you the same question I asked myself. Does your life really look like Jesus? Does your life really look like Jesus? Are your steps following Jesus? Are you really reaching the lost? And I just want to say that to all the youth, you are like fresh off the boat. Amen? Like you are, it's not just about next, it's not just about the weekend, but there's something that is unique in the infancy of our faith. Come on, some of us have been saved for a while, got to go back to that place and remember what it was like. Amen? Because maybe you had the notorious sinner privilege title. But now God has reminded you that you need to remember what it was like going from that style, that lifestyle, to being saved. How many of you remember what it was like when you finally discovered that you didn't have to live as a notorious sinner? Amen? I heard someone say, woohoo, that is amen. Was that you, Leah? Amen. See, because when you recognize your fallenness, you'll have a voice of praise that will shout everybody else down. Amen. I mean, we have seen drug addicts set free in this church. We have seen porn-addicted people set free at this church. We have seen alcoholics set free. We have seen marriages, come on, come back together. Literally, we have seen even marriages where they divorced, found Jesus, came back, married, had a child. We've seen people do amazing things because someone was walking, someone was looking, someone was talking, and someone was inviting them into an encounter with a living God. Amen? So, if you've been doing this, you've been reaching everyone, great. I'm not going to pat you on the back. I'm just going to encourage you to have others join you. Amen? I want you to bring others along with you in the journey of reaching people. But if it's not you, then I want you to lean in this morning even more as we talk about Peter and John and the beggar, because I find this an interesting story. In Acts chapter 3, we continue on, not just talking about Jesus, but the apostles, disciples, followers of Jesus. Come on, Christians, how many of you here follow Jesus and you want to be Christ-like? Amen? Not just in title, but also in action. Amen? And so Acts 3:1 says this, On one day, Peter and John were going, they were walking, right, up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3:00 p.m. Now, a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. How many know that some people in the world don't even know what they really need? And so what happens right here is it says, Peter... This is a great part. I love this. It just kind of really fits well, right? They were walking. They were looking. What does it say? Peter what? Oh, come on, y'all can help me here. Peter what? Shout me down. Peter what? Are we talking about every? Yeah, Peter looked at. him. He looked at him. There's a crowd. There's people everywhere. But Peter looks straight at him. And I feel by the Spirit of God to say, God wants us to lift our eyes. There's a scripture about lifting your eyes to notice that there is a harvest and it is ripe. There is a harvest. I said it several times. The harvest is plentiful. The harvest is plentiful. We just have to lift our eyes. Amen. And lifting our eyes can look different for a lot of people. Lifting our eyes could be lifting our eyes even outside of our family. By the way, the everyone thing that we're talking about was don't put someone on your family up there. You should already have been praying for a family member. This is about who goes to school with me. Who's in my high school class, my junior high, my college class, or in my workplace? Who is around me that God has put, like God's been putting people on my heart that are in the city, literally work in the city, and I'm trusting that God is going to help us to reach those people. So Peter looked straight at him, as did who? That's kind of cool. So this is not just one person, but now two. How many know that he has no chance? Amen? This guy's like, wanting money, but Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Now, in context, we know his heart was for money. But how do we know God's heart was for something better than even money? And I just want to submit to you that the creative God that lives inside of you by the power of the Holy Spirit can speak to you a fresh word about what the person actually needs more than what they're asking for. Amen? How many of you want like an inside track to what God is wanting to say and do in our world? And you're like, oh, what is he talking about? Don't be a foreigner to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Don't be a foreigner to God himself. God is the Holy Spirit, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I think some people have thought that that was Father, Son, and Holy Word. It's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit that gives us the Word of God to change our lives and others. He says, look at us. So the man gave him attention, expecting to get something else. And then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have. So we see they're walking, they're looking, they're speaking, and they're giving an invitation. And how do we know that this invitation is a little bit of a strange one? Because the very thing that they say is, we don't have what you're asking for. Did you know giving people what they want is not always the God solution? Come on, I think some of you just needed that to drop into your heart because you've had some family members been asking you for some things and you thought that was the way to get them to Jesus. But I'm telling you, you can get in the way of God when you don't listen to what God wants. Somebody say amen. Turn to the person next to you. That's good. Okay, so here's one of the things. I don't know why I said queso. That's like cheese for Spanish, and maybe I'm getting hungry. Okay. Often we have excuses about no resources. I have no money. I don't have. I hear that a lot, even in the body of Christ. I don't have. I'm like, is your middle name I don't have? I don't have money. I don't have time. I don't have faith. I don't have, this is a big one, I don't have energy. Some of you mamas, we're going to pray for more energy for you. I don't have energy. I don't have the gifting, as though you had to be an evangelist to share what Jesus has done in your life. God wants to tear down every single one of our arguments and cause us to begin to reinitiate with the love of God and the love of people. Amen? And so I have a solution. Admit it and quit it. Amen? You're like, that's so not helpful. And you're right. I am not a psychiatrist or a psychologist. I'm not going to give you the 500 points of how to get to that point. There are things that they can help you with to get unstuck. There is great value in those ministries. But what I want to tell you today is God wants to get right to the point. He wants you to stop it. Stop giving him excuses. Stop giving them excuses. You will not change one iota if you just continue to give excuses. So here's what I think we got to do. We got to do what Peter and John did. Look at this, Acts 3:6. But what I do have. Can we start like having that kind of confession? But what I do have. Amen? What I do have. What do you have? I've got God. So I don't know about all the other things, but if I've got God, I've got all the other things I just described to you. He says, but what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. How many of you know that what he was wanting was money, but what God was speaking to Peter and to John and to us today is that the power of God is so much greater than any currency you could give. And I'm trusting that the power of the Holy Spirit is working in Life Church and that we're going to see greater miracles, signs, and wonders. One of our congregants that's fighting cancer, I was even in the middle of the service, I was like, man, I'm praying for you. Be healed in Jesus' name. I may not have a cancer drug for you, but I come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We got to start stirring our faith, church. We got to start stirring ourselves up in our holy faith because that faith is going to save people. Amen. I'm getting excited because God is up to some great things. We just need to get it into our spirit. So the Bible says, it says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk. Taking him by the right hand and helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. How many know that God's calling us to strengthen those who are lost, strengthen those who are hurting, strengthen those who are needing a miracle in their life? And then the Bible says he jumped. He jumped. Can you imagine, just for a moment, humor me and say, could you imagine being that guy, born blind from birth, and in one moment he's asking for some change, but God comes with a miraculous power? I trust that God is stirring you by the creative power of God to start seeing people. And as you are walking amongst the people of this earth, that God, as we are ambassadors for the kingdom of God, we start hearing the voice of God and saying, God wants to heal that person. When's the last time you prayed for someone that was broken? Someone that was destitute? Someone that was fighting depression? Did you know that Jesus can heal depression? Did you know that Jesus can heal all sorts of things? And so, they start praying for him. I imagine they take him and by the right hand, and he's getting excited. Then he went up, he jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went to with them to the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. Woo! Walking and jumping and praising God. Some of you need to get that kind of in your step for your testimony. I was crippled spiritually, but now I'm walking. I was crippled spiritually. I could not jump. There was no joy, but Jesus has become my joy. There is no strength in my past, but God has given me God energies of supernatural proportion. Come on. And he started praising God. And some of us need to start actually living a life that looks exciting, like Jesus is alive and well and wants to do something in our culture today. Amen. And when all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. When you reach one, that one will often reach others. So what's your excuse? You're like, I have none. Amen? When I say, what's your excuse? You say, I don't have one. What's your excuse? No money? I know when I was a teenager, I definitely didn't have money. No money? You have the power of the living God. You don't have time? I thought the God we serve was the God of time. I thought the Bible says that if we seek his kingdom first, all these other things will be added unto us. Come on, from young to old, we need to start trusting that God's given us time. Amen? Not enough faith? Oh, I like this one. I'll preach myself happy. Hopefully you too. You don't have enough faith? You're like, I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to reach somebody else. I have people that I love, but I don't know what to do, Pastor. That's when you start coming alongside and you're like, hey, James, I noticed that you have a real passion for people. You engage with them. You talk with them when you're out and about and you're walking. I said, hey, can I walk alongside of you? Because you have a passion to reach people. And I know that if I'm with you, God's going to start sharpening me like iron sharpens iron. And I'm going to actually walk like you walk. James and I were talking about this. This is why I used him as the example. Last night I was like, man, I'm feeling stirred. I said, I'm going to start carving out time in my week to just start sharing the gospel. I'm going to look for people, and I'm going to trust that God's going to speak to me. And I say, hey, bro, why don't we do this? Why don't we map out our family, our time? Let's do this. Let's start looking at our neighbors. Who could we reach in our neighborhood? And we started conspiring together. Amen. We started conspiring together. And we're like, man, we're going to do this. Come on. How many of you have friends where you could come alongside of them and you're like, you know what? Let's reach this person. Right? We know that if we come together, we will reach this person. Amen. Amen. Stir you up. Don't do it alone if you can't. God will start encouraging you. Amen. Don't have enough faith? Borrow somebody's faith. Walk with them and see what God can do through your rendered life. And then for all of you, like, well, I'm exempted from all this because I just don't have the energy. Can I read you a scripture that will convict you so you can trust that God's going to give you more energy? It was a rhetorical question. I'm going to still do it anyways. I know one time I said to the congregation, I'm like, this is a conversation, but I'm monologuing. Matthew 16:18, and now I'm going to tell you who you are, really are. How many know that God sometimes needs to tell us who we really are? He's saying this to Peter, but I think he's saying it to all of us. You are Peter, a rock. This is the rock on which I will put together my church. Whose church does it belong to, by the way? God, you belong to the Lord. Amen. And it says, a church so expansive. Come on. The church is not an institution. The church is the sum total of everyone that's sitting in this place. So this is a prophetic declaration to each of you, meaning that God is speaking to your potential. And the potential that I see in the Word of God is that you would be so expansive with energy. I feel right now a boldness in my spirit to call somebody out right now. And it may be more than one. How many of you are willing to boldly lift your hand and say, I'm dealing with a lack of energy in my life, and I need more energy? Okay, look around. Lift that hand high. Look around. How many know the enemy would love to sap you of energy, kill your energy, and take you out? I want to tell you something. This is a promise to you. I will. I will put together my church. He's going to put you together. A church so expansive with energy that not even the gates of hell will prevail. Come on. It says we'll be able to keep it out. I'd have memorized it in another translation. That the gates of hell will not prevail. How many of you want to be a part of an overcoming church? It's not about Life Church. You are what this church is. Be an overcomer, and Life Church will be an overcoming church. Amen? And I'm going to land here. I don't have the gifting. It was meant really to reach the everyone was like for the evangelists. And I just want to say this. I didn't know that loving people was about gifting. That's really what it's about. Jesus loves you. He does. You guys were talking about a song, about something about Jesus loves. It's a one-hit wonder, apparently. They can't find it. But here's the deal. He loves you. He loves you. He loves you. You know what? He loves the people who are around you who are broken. Just walk. Just look. Just talk. Just invite. Let your home be a refuge for all those who are shipwrecked in their life. Amen. Let's look at the life application. I imagine you probably know what it is. Here we go. Everyone, walk, look, talk, invite. Can you do it? Shall we do it? Shall we not just hear? Because if you're saying, I can't, really what you're saying is I won't. Don't be in the latter of those two. Let's let Jesus change.